Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am so excited about this week's show because my special guest is none other than internet marketing superstar and speaker, Kaylin Amadeo. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Kaylin. She is a professional speaker. She's an internet marketing consultant who is passionate about helping you harness the power of social networking. She specializes in showing smart, savvy, and motivated business owners how to kick it up online, even if you've tried and have perhaps been disappointed in the past or technology just isn't your thing. You know, in this ever-changing world of internet, social media, video, mobile technology, Kaylin can help any business thrive. You can hear her every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on Act Local, Marketing for Small Business, broadcasting live over the Rockstar Radio Network. In addition to raising three sons, she is a third-degree black belt in the Korean martial art of Taekwondo, which is why I never say a crossword to her. And also, she is a superb radio host, and I know this from personal experience because I've had the great pleasure of being a guest on her show twice, actually. Kaylin, how are you doing today?
I am totally awesome.
I love that. So, first of all, is there anything else that my audience should know about you, either personally or professionally, that I did not cover in the intro?
Oh, you've covered the basic high points there. I didn't even realize you were going to tell everyone that I'm into Taekwondo. That was a nice surprise.
Well, I think that's pretty cool, actually. You know, you have a very unusual background. You've done a lot of things, you know, not like unlike other entrepreneurs. How did you end up, you know, as an internet marketing consultant?
Yeah, a lot of entrepreneurs do have very diverse backgrounds. My degree is actually in architectural engineering, and I spent my first career as an engineer, and I'm my expertise is really in electrical systems and lighting design, and I spent a lot of time doing lighting design. And if you can imagine, you know, engineering being a very technical field, you know, there's a lot of technical things that you need to know in order to be able to design. Lighting is also a very artistic element of engineering. You know, it's almost like painting. You're painting with light. But you need to understand all the technology, you need to understand electricity and how all these things work together. So I've always worked in fields where art and science are sort of two sides to the same coin, as I'm very much a, you know, left and right brain thinker, and I need both of those things to be happy in whatever profession I'm in. I need both the science and the art of it. And I ended up in working actually for the VP of marketing in one of the jobs I had where I worked for a lighting fixture manufacturer, and I ended up writing copy and creating, sales collateral and working booths at trade shows, you know, all that marketing and sales stuff. So I ended up getting sort of a well-rounded education in business in general, seeing it from many sides, the sales as well as, you know, the engineering and design aspects. And then when the economy started to decline in 2008, I was a freelance contractor for a lighting design firm, and my work with them was predicated on how often they needed me. So if their project started to decline, I didn't have to come into work, and that was beginning to happen. So I found myself at home more often trying to figure out what to do, and I started fooling around online. and realizing that building websites sort of gave me the same gratification that I had gotten from my professional career. It needed all the same skill sets. I needed to be able to write. I needed to be able to design. But I needed to understand how to code, you know, the technology behind it. And that's how I sort of dipped my toe into the online world and then quickly got sucked in and found myself devouring it because it was just way too interesting and way too much fun.
Were you somebody that actually used to do all the coding then? I mean, all the technical behind the scenes of what made it look pretty?
Yeah, that's how I started. Is I started designing. I started actually coding websites in HTML.
Oh wow!
Which for me was a hobby. You know, that's how I have fun. Right? It's like doing a puzzle for me.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You got to be careful how you answer because I might find out approximately how old you are. But did you ever learn Fortran or punch cards? You know, the computers going way back then.
I did study Fortran in college. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
I
escaped
too.
The punch cards. I just barely missed punch cards.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we just found out who's older. So, me, by the way, so I won't leave you hanging. You know, I'm a big fan of the Rockstar Radio Network. I think your show is awesome. Act local for small businesses. How did you get started with that? And tell me a little bit about your passion for helping small business owners.
Sure. I have a good friend. Her name is Carol McManus. She's known, her branding is the LinkedIn Lady.
I know
and
Carol,
she,
yep.
Oh, okay, you know Carol. She's a good friend of mine, and she was doing a local radio show on an AM radio station out of Greenwich, Connecticut. And she invited me to come be a guest on her show. We had found ourselves in the same networking circles at one point and realized that we had some synergies and some things in common, and I came and went on her show. And it was really, really fun. And at the time, she was just beginning to do shows for Rockstar Radio Network. And I remember her telling me, you know, I'm also doing, it was a half an hour show on the AM station. And she said, I'm also doing a 1 hour show on an internet radio station. Would you be interested in coming over and doing an interview there? And I said, sure. She contacted me, you know, a few months later, and I did that show. And then the next thing I know, she's encouraging me, you know, you're kind of good at this. You should think about having your own show. And then she put me in touch with the powers that be at Rockstar at that time. And we talked about it, and I ended up creating Act Local Marketing for Small Business.
That's so cool. Now, why did you choose to work with local businesses, per se? And you know, do they actually really need to worry about, like, digital media? I mean, they got their so many hats in their hands and so many cookie jars, it seems like.
Yeah, they really do, and I know that things continue to change constantly, not just on a yearly basis, but on a monthly and a weekly basis in terms of Main Street USA's attitude towards their marketing and towards the internet. But they're starting to see, you know, the guy next door and the guy down the street have more and more success with it, and they're starting to wake up, many of them. But when I began talking to them, It was very difficult because, first of all, I couldn't go online and find them because they weren't there yet. So it all had to be very old school. I had to go network in person, and that's how I ended up doing speaking engagements because I thought, I need to talk to more and more of these people. I got very passionate about helping them because, first of all, I'm a baby boomer. Most of them are baby boomers, you know, local business owners. They're of that age category. The world had literally changed underneath their feet when the internet came about and social networking started to get prominent, and they were hearing about social media sites, but they were uncertain whether it was really necessary for them or not. And then right quickly on the heels of that, of, you know, the internet paradigm shift, we had mobile come along, and it changed all of our lives. We really never saw that one coming, but, you know, thank you, Steve Jobs and Apple and, you know, their integrated product suites, and it changed the way we connected to the internet. So now mobile was the next thing, and it really, as you know, it really pushed how important online became to more than just socializing, how important it became to businesses in general. And I just kept thinking, as I spoke to baby boomers and business owners and had more time with them and could explain why it was important and saw their eyes sort of open and light up and they could see the potential and the possibilities in their marketing, I just kept thinking, if I can speak to enough boomer business owners, maybe I can single-handedly fix the economy. They're all going to get it. And that sort of became my driving passion behind it. I just wanted to speak to as many of them as possible, as quickly as possible, because I knew we could sort of pull this rabbit out of a hat and fix everything.
Oh, I mean, I like to work with people who have ambitious goals. You want to fix the entire economy. That's pretty ambitious.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting.
It can be done, Jim. It can be done.
Listen, all kidding aside, entrepreneurs, small businesses are what will pull this economy out of the ditch or the soft shoulder. And so I'm just a big fan of entrepreneurs in general, entrepreneurialism. I mean, there is an alternative to earning a paycheck. I mean, earn some profits. So I really like that. You know, you said something pretty wise. You know, most small business owners, at least right now, are most likely baby boomers of that generation. And so, you know, I've been learning a lot from a friend of mine. Brad wrote a book called Liquid Leadership, which is a good book, and other, you know, for the first time, I think he was saying that employers are dealing with employees who are not only from Gen X, but now Gen Y generation. And so if you are working, Kaylin, with somebody, let's say they've owned a hardware store, pizza shop, beauty parlor, whatever it is, a small business, they've been in business 20, 30 years, it's all this kind of social media and thing is very new, and maybe an employee of theirs who might be 25 or 30 can't even remember not having a debit card, can't remember not having a cell phone or being able to jump on Facebook, where the person who owns the business thinks, get off Facebook, you're on my time. So there's a lot of kind of cultural clashes going on at the same time.
Definitely. And that's something that I address often when I blog. And I actually find it very fascinating, the whole generational things that go on. I mean, I fall at the very end of the baby boom. So I spent my career working with other baby boomers, the people who were older than me, you know, at whatever office I was working at throughout my career. They were all boomers. I understand them. You know, I've spent decades with them. But at the same time, being at the end of the boom, I was always quick to jump on the new things that were happening and I straddled the fence very easily.
Right.
But, the communication is difficult, and that's one of the things that I end up talking about a lot with boomers is the fact that the way we communicate has changed, and it is generational, and there's a vast difference from one end of the scale to the other, and you cannot expect the younger generations to communicate with you in the way that you prefer. You don't get to have that expectation.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I don't know if it's just if everybody who goes through their life says this, but I can't imagine or remember a period where there was more change, when there was more change like almost every day. You know, when I got into social media, for example, something you're real strong at and passionate about, I got into it probably 4 years ago, was started in Facebook, did a little bit of Twitter, and then, you know, I started my video show and things like that. But it seems like whenever something else came about, well, LinkedIn wasn't far behind, and then Google+. Every time something new comes along, I kind of, like, not throw my hands up in the air like, oh, good grief, I got to go learn something else, right? I finally, you know, got my hands wrapped around Facebook, and, you know, I almost feel bad for people that run small businesses because, you know, they don't, you know, I have a great team. I didn't always have my team. I used to have to do it all, but I imagine that's a very big struggle for folks on Main Street, as you say, as dealing with all the aspects of social media.
Yeah, it's literally like another world. In fact, last time I spoke to you, you were in the process of writing your fifth book, I think.
Yeah, I'm more than halfway through, by the way. So there's an update for you. It's gonna be on time, by a little after Labor Day, most likely.
Oh, excellent. See, and you inspired me. I've written my entire life. I've started many a book, and I've never finished one. And you inspired me. I started writing. I started getting up early every morning, like you were talking about, and I've started writing. I'm into, I think, chapter 4 of this, probably. I think it's going to end up being a 10-page book. But I've entitled it right now, The Boomer's Guide to Social Media. And it's written from business point of view, but it's really meant to help them with this whole overwhelm feeling that you just described, because things do change quickly and there is a lot of worry and, you know, is it going to waste my time and how am I going to keep up with all of this? Those are a lot of good excuses to just not bother, but you can't afford not to bother. So I'm writing this book and giving them a framework by which they can understand what I think are the 6 most important social media sites and sort of navigate my process so they can end up with a map at the end of a strategy that'll help them get there.
That's awesome. Congratulations, by the way. You know, today was one of those days I was up at 4 a.m. I was up at 4 a.m. and I wrote several pages. But that's, you know, when you get into the mode of when there's a project due or when you're working on something, if I wake up, you know, early in the morning, my brain just turns on and that's it, I'm done. So I just get up and I just, you know, I banged out 2 or 3 hours of writing, and now, you know, I'm into my day doing other things. I have a hard time writing during the day because there seems to be a lot going on. So I really
I am exactly the same way. And I set my alarm for 5 and I get up and nobody else is up and I have my first cup of coffee and my brain's going a mile a minute and I'm great. You know, and I can get those first couple of hours in before the rest of the world starts to wake up. And it's a great way to get things done just in general when you talk about time blocking and time management.
Absolutely. So we're going to do a real quick pause here for a very brief timeout. On the other side, I want to ask you about the 5 secrets of social media marketing. So stand by. We'll be right back.
There are 2 types of small business owners. Those who are already profiting from the power of social media, building stronger, more powerful relationships with their customers and prospects, and those who are still sitting on the sidelines, wondering if it will work for them too. If you're still sitting on the sidelines, then No Hassle Social Media is for you. Finally, there's a fast and easy done-for-you way to use social media marketing to connect with more customers and prospects, accelerating the know, like, and trust factor, all with no experience necessary. No Hassle Social Media not only shows you exactly what to do, it provides you with a ton of great content that you can use to promote your business and build stronger relationships with clients and potential clients. You get blog posts, Twitter tweets, Facebook posts, LinkedIn updates, and even video scripts. Get started profiting from social media today at www.nohasslesocialmedia.com. That's www.nohasslesocialmedia.com.
And we are back. Let's get right back to my very special guest, Kaylin Amadeo. Kaylin, you often speak about the 5 secrets of social media marketing. Can you share what those are?
Sure. I actually give this talk a lot. I guess you could call it my signature talk, really. And because everything that happens online is about communication, I hold the belief that everything you do online is social. So it's all social media. It's all social networking, because all we are is communicating with one another. And I have 5 secrets or 5 pillars that create a really robust online presence. And the first would be what you would call traditional social media, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Pinterest, Google+, LinkedIn, you know, the sites that everyone, unless they've been living under a rock, has probably heard of. So traditional social media is, of course, not necessarily a secret, but it's one of your pillars of the 5 and always a good place to start. And then the second secret would be not just your website, and believe it or not, just under 50% of small businesses still don't have websites, which I still find astounding. But rather than it being a website, everyone needs a blog. And just so that you know, some people get confused by that distinction, when I build websites for clients, I build it on a blogging platform, and I prefer WordPress. Because it's just such a well-engineered and structured, you know, it's a good infrastructure that you can then overlay your stuff on. But a blog is vitally important because you're offering fresh content all the time to Google, and it refreshes your website and it dusts it off, whereas websites are technically often static and they don't change very often, because Google will index a site 434% more when it has a blog over when it's just a static website.
Wow, what was that, 400% more?
434%, yeah, more indexing. And that's, think about it, it's because you're constantly adding content. Theoretically, if you have a blog, you are actually adding content. You can't have a blog and then never use it either. That's, you know, no different than having a website that you're not dusting off. But Google will come back and look because you're creating content and good content. You know, it can't be cruddy content.
That's crazy huge, man. That's a huge
right.
number.
It's very important. It's very important. And then my third secret is what I call local SEO. And SEO, for those who don't know, is an acronym that stands for Search Engine Optimization. And it's the things we do in the code, the stuff that you can't necessarily see that's in the code of a web page that tells the little robots that Google and other search engines send out what the page is actually about. Because think about it, Google's not actually, a human being's not going and reading a web page and then deciding how to index you. A robot's doing that. So the robot's not really gauging whether or not your content makes sense. It's looking for certain markers so that it knows what your page is about. And SEO is about placing those markers. Local SEO for Main Street USA is very important because it's telling not only Google what your page is about, but it's helping them index it in a way that lets people near you geographically find you more often. And that's what you want because you're a local business. And it also has a lot to do with your reputation management. It takes into account all of these review sites, the Yelps and the Angie's lists, and as well as, you know, Google and Bing, they have review portions on their sites as well. And all of that, all of the reviews that people leave behind about you and your business and whether or not they were satisfied with your business actually adds to local SEO, and it helps determine whether or not you show up in the search results. That's all interwoven and interrelated, and it's a little complex, but it's very important to pay attention to.
Awesome.
So that's three, right? We have two more, I think.
No, you gave me four. I think local SEO was number four. With traditional social media, your website. Oh, I'm sorry.
Website and blog, local SEO. That's three. The fourth one is video, using YouTube, which is the biggest. There are others, you know, Vimeo, and it's worth using others. But if you only have one place to start, you should use YouTube. Just like Jim does a video podcast, YouTube has expanded phenomenally. I mean, they went from, I think, 24 hours of video uploaded every minute in 2010 to 48 hours in 2011 to 60 hours by the end of 2012 to by the end of the first quarter of this year, it was 100 hours of video a minute was being uploaded to YouTube. It's the second largest search engine. Google owns it, so maybe that will make more sense to you as to why it's a search engine. It's also a social networking site. You can leave comments. You can use it in the same way that you would use a Facebook, for example. But it's not something that a local business should poo-poo in any way. It's very useful because people go on there as a search engine to look for answers to the questions they have or how to do something themselves. And how great would it be to be the local business that shows up on someone's radar when they're trying to figure something out and realize they can't do it themselves and they need you. There aren't 100 hours uploaded a minute of video on YouTube because there are so many cute babies in the world and clever cats. Although there are plenty of cute babies and clever cats, it's because business owners are using it to market. And you don't want to get left behind there.
Absolutely.
So let's see, one more. Okay, so here's my last secret, and that is mobile marketing. And it's probably the one that confuses local businesses most often because they don't understand why they should be using it. It seems like it's quite technical, and it's probably beyond their reach, or they're thinking, "What? You know, I don't need an app. Mobile's for apps." But although that's one little aspect of mobile, mobile is really the bridge between you standing firmly on Main Street USA in reality and the virtual world of the internet. Because when we use our mobile devices, right, 84% of us are first going to a map. That's the first thing we're doing on a mobile device when we're on the move. Now, if they're going to a map, don't you think it's because they're looking for a business or goods or services nearby that they're trying to get to? So if you're not online, you can't be found by a mobile device, and therefore you don't exist. And
wow.
Mobile can be used for, you know, the the restaurant that collects cards in the fishbowl and gives away a lunch every month. You can convert all of that to mobile. If you do speaking engagements, you can employ mobile in your speaking engagements and capture everyone in the room without having to collect all their cards. I've used it at trade shows personally, where I did a 4-day trade show in Orlando in April, and we used mobile marketing as the fishbowl method to collect people's information, and automatically I'm texting them back. I'm sending them emails with all of my contact information. I'm sending them links to make appointments with me in my time scheduler. I'm already starting all those touch points before they ever got out of the trade show area, right? 80% of people who go to trade shows come back with all those business cards and never follow up.
It's crazy. That is crazy when you think of how much they cost to exhibit also.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the biggest mistakes that business owners make when they go to these tabletop shows, is they don't build in the time to follow up afterwards. And mobile can help you start that process even before you've been able to shake someone's hand.
Awesome.
There are a lot of uses for it.
Well, thank you. We're down to about 3 minutes. I got one more question for you. What would you tell, this is a question I get all the time, what would you tell local business owners, kind of Main Street USA, who say they don't have time for online marketing?
Well, like I alluded to, the fact of the matter is, and it's a hard truth, but if your business can't be found online, it literally doesn't exist. We are looking for your local business. We want to know how to get there. We want to know what your hours are. We want to know if you have any specials. We want to know what your menu is. What services do you provide? People go online to start that search. They don't go to the library to do it. They don't open up Yellow Pages to do it. We have been conditioned, and especially the younger the generation gets, more and more conditioned to immediately go online either at a desktop computer, if you're a little older like me, or on a mobile device, if you're younger like my college student son. That's how we're looking for the businesses that we're engaged with. And we're looking for what other people had to say about them. We're seeing, what did other people say on social media? What did they say on Yelp? We're checking out the businesses, and then we're making decisions whether or not we want to do business with them. If you're not there, you're not in the race. You've already lost.
Wow. That is a stern warning right there. You know, this has been a fast-moving half hour. You've given us some phenomenal information. I'm a really big fan of your Act Local radio show. How can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you and things like that?
Sure. You can go to my corporate website. The name of my company is iKalen, LLC. You can find us online at iKalen.com, iKalynn.com. And there's all kinds of contact information there, and, of course, links to all the various social media sites that you can find me on. My favorites are Twitter and Google+, so it's very easy to find me on those two if you want to have a conversation. And feel free to look me up. I'd love to talk to you.
Awesome. Kaylin, thanks again. I really, really appreciate it. I'm so glad we connected.
Thanks for asking, Jim. I really appreciate being here.
My pleasure. All right, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Kaylin Amadeo. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now before the day's out, go do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.